Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rain we had the last couple of days. We thank you for this beautiful weather and this facility and the gift of flight. Give us wisdom in our deliberations, and we thank you for all the blessings and being a citizen of the United States and a resident of the city of Ocala. In your name we pray, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's have a roll call.
Terry Crawford.
Here.
Sandy Klein.
Here.
Chad Dinkins is not here yet. Howie's not here yet. Chuck Savage.
Here.
We have four.
All right, let's get started with the election of the chairman for the next year.
Am I currently the vice chairman?
I believe so.
I guess that means I move up.
Would you like to be the chairman?
I would happy to be the chairman.
Okay.
Is there any discussion on that?
Yeah, well, I would move, and you got to second it.
Right, I'll second it.
Okay. Randy, and then we got to come up with a chairman of vice. I mean, a vice chairman.
All right.
What are you now?
How about yourself?
I'm nothing.
Nothing?
All right. Well, let's vote on that one. All those in favor of Randy being the new chairman, say aye.
Aye.
Power.
Aye. Let's see.
Aye. I vote for myself.
I guess, do we have any nominees for the vice chairman?
Who's recently served in what capacity? Howie was the chairman recently? Howie,
yeah.
Yeah.
He was
and then it was you, past. And so I guess it's...
Chap
is the only one that hadn't served yet, but he didn't hear say yay or nay. And
why don't we nominate?
You want to be the vice chairman or you want Chap?
I'm happy to.
I think Terry probably.
All right.
At this point in Chap's infancy.
Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll. Yeah, you need a second. I nominate
I'll
Terry.
I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, we got that done.
All right,
does he take over immediately or that?
No.
No.
It's happening. It's just happening.
All right.
You're still on the hook.
All right. Has everybody read the meetings, the minutes of the last meeting?
Move the minutes be adopted.
I'll second.
All right. Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Unfinished business. The aviation terminal building update.
It's a beautiful thing. They are exploding out of the ground. It's been really fun to watch. The rain the past couple days delayed some of their concrete pours on this, what I call it, the patio or the porch area. They'll probably pour that on Monday.
So when was the picture taken?
This was 3 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 days ago.
Who's flying the drone around the airport? You got clearance from the tower?
Every time. Every time.
Your name Clarence? You call the tower. This is Clarence. I need clearance.
No, I say Ops 1. I've been doing it so often now, it's almost like a blanket clearance every time I go out there to do it. But the tower's been really accommodating getting all the aerial shots. Because I'm out here about every 3 days documenting it. I fly it around in a circle. That was that video that you saw earlier. And then
can you email that to us?
They're huge files. So what I can do is I put them on a thumb drive and get everything to you that way. I mean, but they're just enormous. So.
Are we still on schedule?
We are still on schedule, looking for early mid-December to have the building turned over to us. That point, we can start moving in, and we're going to reach out to the Collins Foundation and see if they can't bring in their warbirds here for a mid to late January visit and maybe tie in the grand opening of the building with their visit. Mm. That's what we're looking at now. So the grand opening mid to the end of January 2020. I do have an action item that I need the board's vote on. The restaurant RFP is currently on the street. We've had three or four different entities that are interested in leasing the property here, toured the facility, answered some questions. We've extended the deadline another 2 weeks so that they can formulate their responses and submit the proposal. But I'd like the board to nominate one of you to sit on the selection committee.
I'd be, since I love food.
That's a good idea. I'll second Mr. Klein being our representative.
Anybody, well, why don't we vote on that?
All right. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Is there anybody local that's expressed interest that runs a restaurant locally?
Yes.
Are you able to say? Is that?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. Okay.
All right. It says construction update. Is there some other construction?
Yes. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question from a practical standpoint. If that restaurant was there and the operators of this restaurant wanted to continue, could they still continue to operate this restaurant in this facility? Technically,
if Shelter wanted to continue their lease, they could. They could. It would be entirely up to Shelter, but honestly, I don't think it's going to go that direction.
What happens to this building when the new building is finished?
Shelter repurposes it, and they lease it out to a future tenant. Could be a large aircraft charter company, could be the flight school. They're actually exploring a number of different options right now.
But the city actually owns the building, doesn't it?
Well, it's part of the overall Shelter lease, and they have a 30-year term, so okay. It's their responsibility
this,
to lease it.
This room has a different, is the city's.
Not under the current Shelter lease.
Well, how did we do that?
How did we do that?
Why did we do that?
Well, we've got a brand new building going up.
Yeah, but I mean, the lease has been for a while with Shelter, but we didn't have a building going up then. This room right here was supposed to be controlled by the city of Ocala.
Maybe under the landmark lease, but under the Shelter lease agreement, it's not carved out.
It should have been, in my opinion, but that's okay.
So,
I say that because you remember when we had one base operator move in. They were renting all this out to a flight school, and we weren't able to use it anymore for public meetings and the kind of things it was originally intended to be. We went and got the lease out and corrected them, and they moved out.
I see. Well, we've never had that issue.
But it can arise. And
since I've been here, and between the FBO here, their meeting space here, and the meeting space that we have down at Hangar 19, we've actually worked it out. We've got the Red Tails that meet, the EAA meets, and utilize our facility and this facility.
Brings up, are you going to have to amend the lease?
No.
When? All right. Well, how is the terminal covered in the existing lease? Other than their obligation to contribute to it, has it got a particular part that they lease?
Yes. Yeah. And so there's a probably 2,500 square feet of the new terminal that's dedicated for the FBO. For Shelter, and that is allocated. It will actually calculate the value of that in the lease,
okay.
And
so
that
the
goes against the rent
credit.
The rest
credit. Of it's the city, including the meeting area you pointed
including
out?
Including the meeting area.
Okay, so that
all the meeting areas.
So in the future,
except
the city
the
will have control.
The restaurant
has one meeting area.
But we haven't leased it to the restaurant. Right now it's still...
Right, yeah, we're building it with the anticipation of leasing it to the restaurant.
So something to keep in mind when we enter into the lease with the restaurant about that meeting area.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Keep it in mind.
Well, that was the purpose when we built this building originally. This area here was for city functions, for EAA meetings, for whatever, and... that was specifically looked at in terms of what we're talking about now as a future need, because will come a day when the restaurant decides they want to encroach on that, and then it's not available and you don't have a meeting room that you'd like to have for aviation groups or things of this nature.
I should say that it could be used by the restaurant with our consent. Right?
There's meeting room one, there's meeting room two. There's a conference room that's attached to the main lobby area, and then there's another conference room that's in the airport administration area. So those are all the meeting rooms. All of the meeting rooms, except for meeting room number one, is under the city's control.
Is there a meeting room this size included in it?
Not quite this size.
Yeah, it's not quite this size.
Pretty big though.
Yeah.
It'll probably work, but mm-hmm. we had, when there was a change in the lease here, that's when all of a sudden the new FBO decided this was their space too. And they took it all over and moved people in here and started using it. And the EAA came to somebody and said, there's no place for us to meet anymore. And that was news to the airport board, news to the city management, because then we got the lease back out and it said specifically this area was not part of the FBO lease.
Right.
It was the city's property. The FBO had the right to use it, as did other groups. So
meeting room one, you just mentioned that was in the FBO control.
No.
Who?
Restaurant.
Restaurant.
It's important to safeguard
it,
that. That's why I bring it up.
Meeting room that the restaurant. Are we going to lease it to the restaurant? Or
yes.
Exclusively?
Well, whoever we select through the RFP process has the restaurant in meeting room one. And the opportunity to expand into meeting room two, but that's under our control.
Yeah.
So your initial question, Terry, is yes, we have control, except for that first room. And we wanted them to be able to, maximize their capacity in terms of restaurant use.
Sure. As long as it's joint use space and you can have the Experimental Aircraft Association meets out here and there's other aviation groups and related city opportunities for conferences.
We've talked to them. They're looking forward to the new building and being able to meet out there.
Yeah, it's quite long as we got that. But I can tell you from past experience, if it's not in the lease and it's not specifically detailed, a new FBO or a new manager for the FBO, a new Kyle will come along and he'll decide this is something he wants to use, and then you got to get the lease back up. So just a misunderstanding, but it should be that way. So
I know this is looking down the road, but that restaurant lease should say that if it's not being used by the restaurant, that the city can use it.
We can certainly negotiate that.
I think it should be. I mean, because they may not be in it, but a few times when they're catering large gatherings.
I have a feeling because of the space, I think they're going to end up using it as part of their day-to-day operation.
I don't remember how big it is.
But
that's
fine. During the proposal process and negotiate, once we select and negotiate, there's an opportunity for us to ascertain how often they'll use it. And
yeah.
If it's not going to be used, we can reserve some rights.
Right.
Before we sign on the dotted line.
They should include the use of the facility in the proposal. It's
yes.
Pretty clear in the RFP, which I'll send to you since you're going to be reviewing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So moving on through the construction update, the Taxiway Alpha construction project, there's no change in the status of that. We're still waiting on grant money. Had a good meeting with the contractor. Looks like they're gonna do everything they can to maintain their prices until we hear from the FAA. We may end up changing the phase-in of the project in order to facilitate them holding the price firm. They're going to go back and take a look and sharpen their pencils more, and I think we've got a meeting coming up here soon to just revisit the issue. If we don't hear anything from the FAA on the grant, we're going to resubmit in May and probably get the grant through the Orlando FAA around early August, is my guess. So that's the status on Taxiway Alpha. On the Stavola hangar down at Alpha 10, they've been painting the steel. It's kind of they went from red to brown. They're waiting on city utilities. We've got a utility project. We're going to bring the utilities close to the hangar there, and then they'll start skimming it. Again, it's a 10,000 square foot hangar.
And their egress and access is going to be from the gate up the way. Is that how they're going to get in and out of that?
It's from the existing curb cut that's tied in with 60th Avenue. As part of that utility project, we're relocating the gate, moving some fence work around to maintain the security in the airport.
Okay.
On the AWOS tree clearing, we are pricing airport compliant trees. What I mean by that, they fall within the wildlife mitigation plan, so no nuts, berries, things like that will attract birds. The crepe myrtles are nice. So we're looking at some trees that we can install along the right-of-way on 60th Avenue. And then again, the Alpha 10 utilities, We're waiting for an FDOT grant. Should be here tomorrow to help fund for that project. I've got more details on the grant in a follow-up slide.
Let me ask a question on the AWOS. Mm-hmm. You know, there was, I'm not going to go back to, there was some disagreement with me and you and other people in terms of how we got there, which was fine. But it still bodes the question, our AWOS is about as old as the hills. Has it been upgraded? Isn't there an ASOS that's better?
They've recently updated just about all the equipment within the past 2 years. It's all brand new. FAA, at FAA's expense.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't put a dime into it. So it's all been upgraded.
Well, I guess as that area develops, regardless, the idea of relocating that in the future to the area that's somewhere closer to where the VOR is out in the middle of no man's land, it seems like it would make more sense, because that's something we can have on a long-term project to do that so that it doesn't interfere again with, gives the tower better readings.
Absolutely. With the paperwork that we have, we've already got, it recommended several different locations, and we can still fall back on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are different, I was aware of it, now I've forgotten what the difference in an AWOS and an ASOS is, but one of them, the ASOS had more capability in terms of the weather station itself at one time. Now, I don't know what it is now, maybe they're all the same, but there's two different kinds, or was.
Honestly, I thought the designation difference was one was owned by the airport and one kind is owned by the FAA.
Okay, I'm shaking my head, I don't know, but at one time there was a different capability of an ASOS over an AWOS. It was a better station because we got the AWOS, and then just a few years after that they came out with the ASOS, and we would have rather had one of those, but we already had one, so we weren't on the list to get anything any better.
Well, this equipment provides all your basic METAR data along with precipitation amounts. You don't have to worry about snow.
Whatever. And it very well may be. But I guess if and when we ever relocate it, there would be a new weather station, probably be something that's way past whatever we thought of today.
I would hope so. But the FAA works weird. Sometimes they'll repurpose existing equipment, especially if it's still within its useful life. We're seeing that right now with our glide slope antenna. We just learned, and we're kind of diverging from the AWOS, but we just learned about a week or two ago that the glide slope antenna equipment is not the same make and model or version as the localizer equipment, and they're looking at swapping out our glide slope equipment with Orlando executives because it's more of a mated system, but our glide slope is newer. So our new glide slope is going to Orlando, and we're going to get one from Orlando that's an older variant but matches the localizer. So as far as a maintenance perspective within the FAA's eyes, it matches and they don't have to send people for additional training. About the only input that we have available to us is negotiating on when that swap is going to take place. They wanted to do it in March, and we cried foul. It's our busiest month of the year. So they're pushing it off. Hopefully in June we'll start doing that work. It's nice that they push it off till June. That means that they can get all the crystals and software in place. And that way they don't take it out of service and wait for parts for another 2 weeks while we're without an ILS system, instrument.
Well, it looks like Orlando's going to have the same problem. Theirs will be down, too.
Theirs will be down, too.
They'll get the most attention first, so they won't get ours fixed.
Yeah, it's funny how the FAA works. So.
Yeah.
I had on the agenda the air traffic control tower survey, but Phil couldn't make the meeting today, so we're going to push this off to the next meeting. He'll talk about that.
New business.
New business. So, Terry, you'll be happy about this. These are sheriff leasehold amendments. The sheriff's office has two leases. They lease the large office building here. The original leasehold is about 3 acres, and it's represented by the black line. We are amending it. It's going to end up looking like this. So then all this property here ends up coming back to airport control. So the new office lease is 1.25 acres. The hangar, this is the new hangar lease. The existing one is a small black outline. The hangar lease will now encompass their helicopter pads. You can see the helicopter pads are part of the office lease, not part of the hangar lease, so it was a little hokey. Anyway, we fixed that. This is going to City Council in mid-March. This is what we're looking at. Current lot size of the hangar and the office, current rate per acre, and this is the current annual payment that we receive under the proposed changes. These are the new acreage amounts. The rate per acre is unchanged, and then these are the new proposed annual payments. We're gaining almost 60 feet to the south for terminal parking lot and expansion and everything.
Is there a plan? You know, we talked about it in terms of ramp to the south of the terminal ramp now, you know, because it, at one point in time, it really wasn't needed, but that, with that being kind of game center, you know, you're going to probably need more ramp to the south at some time.
It shows on our airport layout plan, this future apron.
I thought it was, but is that something that we kind of bring up to the top in terms of starting to look at expanding into?
You know, if it's certainly something that we're going to have to discuss, especially if the World Equine Center brings in the jets like we're thinking they're going to bring in. We may need to expand to the south. But the demand's going to dictate that kind of project. The FAA is going to want to see a full ramp most of the time in order to justify the expense. So we'll see how it goes.
We got a lot of ramp now without them looking, so.
What's that?
Go back to the images.
Yeah, please.
Sure.
I understand it. Mm-hmm. What's in black now on the right is?
Black is existing.
Existing mm-hmm. office.
Yep. And then existing hangar. And then the white outline is what we're
leasing them.
The amendment.
What's just to the north of the existing hangar that attached to it? Down.
This?
That.
This is this is the old Stavola hangar. Actually, they still have the lease, but they're leasing it out to an individual.
The original deal with the sheriff's office was if we lease that property to them, they put that that's a temporary building. It was one of two or three that they acquired almost simultaneously, the same size. We had an Air Force. And it was kind of a temporary lease because we were trying to we were looking at air service, looking at a lot of other things, and the sheriff's office leased that with a proviso that if we needed it for terminal expansion, that they would vacate it. Since then, that lease has been restated a time, probably once, maybe twice.
It wasn't
restated.
And
that got lost in the process.
There was a brand new lease issued in the late 90s.
That didn't carry over, so
that clause didn't
this
carry
gets
over.
This gets us
really in a park.
This gets us part of it back.
Who?
Sheriff's people.
This is the parking lot here for them, and this is the parking lot for them as well.
That's the old lease. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not understanding what they're leasing. That's
so
the new
lease is white, right here.
Oh.
For the office, and the new lease for the hangar is right here.
So what are they giving up again then?
They're giving up this right here.
Okay. I thought they were going to give up the building. They're going to keep it now?
Well, their new building is not ready yet. This facilitates their move out.
But ultimately, after they move out, wouldn't we want to take that property and building back over?
It would revert back to the airport. It would.
Mm-hmm. But it looks to be part of... That whole area would revert back?
This whole area would revert back.
Okay.
The reason why we moved the helicopter pads into the hangar lease here is so that when they do move out, the lease wouldn't affect the helicopter pads. So this actually facilitates their relocation.
What happened to their thoughts of moving across the field to the old R facility?
They would rather build a brand new facility closer to Alpha 1 next to Hangar 19. and Little Eagle in their hangar. They'd rather do that than
so they give up both of them then. They'd move the hangar and the pads over there?
They would construct a brand new helicopter facility.
And where would that be?
Alpha One.
Where's Alpha North. One?
You know the Hangar 19 taxiway? Mr. Little has his hangar behind the hangar.
Oh yeah, at the north end. So they wouldn't mind being up there.
No, in fact, I would encourage it because that's where all of our helicopter operations are right now, and that would consolidate them.
Can you put the helicopter pads in? I don't think you can. I probably answered my own question in that cone outside of the runway for 26.
You can put the runway, the helicopter pads inside a runway protection zone, but the way that the crosswind runway is oriented, there's plenty of room south of the runway protection zone to put the pads. There's almost 4 acres of property there that's available for development.
Yeah, but we can't develop on the north side because
you can a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could probably go about 30 feet north of that stubbed taxiway.
That's all the way at the east end.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. So you could put the pads on the north side.
They could come right up to the edge of it with a landing pad for a helicopter.
Yeah, you can't go much beyond that. So
if they vacate the office lease and they're still using the hangar space, where are they going to park?
Their vehicles?
Yes. Because that's all part of the parking lot.
Well, they wouldn't do
it. Well, this is not related to the aviation stuff.
Okay.
Their vehicle parking for the aviation is, as you can kind of see it right in front of their hangar here.
Yeah, I need three or four cars for aviation. All that other was
they have plenty.
Was a special unit for the sheriff's office and the people that all went with it.
Okay.
So I don't know where they're moving them, but out of here.
They won't tell me.
Yeah.
But I did tour. I did get a chance to walk through the building. I was anticipating doors scratched up, gunpowder smells from when they trained the like flashbangs or stuff like that, but it is nothing like that at all. It's absolutely spick and span. It's clean as a whistle. It's well maintained. So that being said, this goes to council in mid-March, and I would ask for your approval.
So move. Chuck, I move.
Yes,
that we approve
I'm saying
it.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All in favor.
Wonderful.
Go ahead.
Okay. So that was unanimous?
Yes.
Thank you. So the city manager thought it would be a great idea, and staff concurs, to install an aviation-themed playground on the north side of the future airport terminal. This is an example of an airport on the, honestly I forget which airport it is, but there are a number of these facilities at different airports throughout the country. We'd probably start small, maybe not do a picnic area right away, but we're excited about it. We're looking at finances, see how much it would cost. We'll have to relocate the access road or the gate on the terminal, push that a little bit further south. Ossley Construction, we have a meeting actually at 2:30 today to talk about that change. But there'll be somewhat of an expense to make that happen. Just like to know your thoughts.
I question the logic of taking airside property that has potential aviation uses close to our main terminal that, you know, as expansion goes, that you put money into for a playground, which is a great idea, but I'm not sure that's the best location for it. That would be my first thought.
I feel the same way.
I mean, part of the appeal would be tied into the restaurant operation and just bringing a new batch of future pilots out to the airport. It's probably the best location to see.
South of the terminal.
South. You know, and honestly, the if we had to do some sort of aviation hangar in that area, if there were no other options, we can move a playground.
how much you think you're talking about.
It might cost probably $10,000 to design the new access road. It's probably gonna, the actual construction of the new access road, which would join the parking lot, which would be here to the apron, is probably gonna be roughly the same. It's not gonna change that much. But
what
and
is,
then playground equipment.
What is the facility on the side with the curved?
That's a different airport. That's not our airport. I'm just showing an example of what it might look like if we install it next to our terminal.
My only initial thought is don't be surprised at the cost of playground equipment.
Yeah, that won't be cheap.
And it gets complicated because when they design those things, there's a lot of safety and liability things, and you have to have a play surface that is rated for the age of the kids and the size of the equipment. And that play surface has to have an impact rating so their heads don't bust open when they fall.
Right.
So just be aware going into this. This is probably a fairly expensive endeavor.
Yeah.
So. You ain't enthused.
You're not enthused.
No.
I actually think the playground is cool. My kids are grown up now, so it doesn't matter to me, but I like seeing that when I go and travel places. I'm just warning you about funding, because I see dollar signs.
Do you, is the board recommending a different location? Or just
is there,
they don't
is
wanna...
there a location that you, that it's not suitable for expansion, like north of it?
Well, that's not suitable for anything because of the proximity to the control tower.
Okay, so they can't, you can't even put a playground there.
Right.
Is that by law? Is that something that could be waived?
We're getting close to the tower?
Yeah.
I don't think,
There's the FAA has got some criteria. What we don't want to happen is putting it in and then some rule change. It's good to have a buffer around the tower. Because if for whatever reason the FAA comes back and they expand their sphere of influence around the control tower, then we don't want to be in a position where we're going to eliminate stuff. But because that's more of a likely occurrence than anything else.
What it seems to be is recreation parks like that, it seems like it'd be more appropriate to put them closer to the middle of town. We're right here on the edge of town. I can't see.
These are passengers, kids?
No, it doesn't. No, this is
anybody's?
Anybody that wants to come out and see airplanes and might have the aviation bug.
May I add something? When my wife was trying to keep from going crazy with two kids under four, she used to take them out to the Georgia Pacific lumber yard where the big cranes were operating, picking up big logs and stuff, and that would entertain them for hours, and it bought her some sanity. And we're thinking that, you know, having a place for moms with young kids to go have a restaurant, get coffee, but also get kids hooked on aviation early on. And we like all of that, and it may die just out of cost. Because I share your concerns that it is going to be expensive. And our meeting at 2:30 really is to figure out if it's even economically feasible. If it is, we'd like to proceed, but it gets my attention that we don't have the advisory board support.
Well, I'm not saying that you don't.
I agree that's a great idea. Practicality becomes a factor.
It's a concern for us.
I wish you had a little bit more information about where you're talking about locating it.
Let's see if I can pull up an aerial here.
What's the new area we just got back from the sheriff's office?
I like the idea of having it adjacent to the restaurant.
We're going
to
make a playground out of it. It would have to be in that general area. Next to the terminal building in the north. One of the concerns I continue to have is parking, I guess. You know, we'll see how it all shakes out once it's there, but controlling the parking lot, as the rental car people, which is essentially the largest tenant we have other than the FBO for the terminal building, you know, they're parking more and more cars, and now it looks like Truck City out here. We got, they don't enhance the look of our airport to have it look like a used truck store in the front of the airport. So how are we going to mitigate that? I mean, you know, do you want them to?
We're looking at an area on the south end, actually, because we're taking over a lot of the property from the sheriff. We're looking at putting those eyesore trucks in that area, moving the fence and expanding it, at least giving them an access to that area.
Yeah, we're building this, not Taj Mahal, but that's it, as really nice terminal for creating a corporate America to our community. And you know, I'm not sure all the rental cars and trucks and everything that are associated with that make the best impression. Well,
and that's why pushing it way far to the south and out of sight.
I was thinking way far to the south, down next to the new...
Like a mile from the south.
Next to the new hangar we're building, right, down there.
Right.
A good spot for it.
Well, we'll see. This is the aerial. This is a top-down. Right now, the access road basically comes straight through here with the gate to the apron. We'd be pushing that access road right to about here, and then the park would be right here. This is the restaurant space. Here's the kitchen, meeting space one, meeting space two.
Well, pushing the access road is good because that allows you to expand for aviation uses south. So if the cost of the playground wasn't real great and is expendable, then necessarily wouldn't be a bad idea. Understanding that aviation uses there have a priority over a playground.
So by pushing the road further south too, if we ever had a position where we needed to expand the terminal this way, we could do that too.
That makes sense.
That's what I'm saying. You know, as long, you know, pushing it south has that advantage. Mm-hmm.
Well,
freeing up that space.
If I may, sir, the playground can always be repurchased for Rutland Parks, and Rutland Parks can pay the airport fund back if they decide to move
right
down
under that a bit.
Because the aviation theme would go over well anyway.
I'm fine.
Do you want a motion, or what do you want?
I'm a good, we.
Thank you. Yes.
Support the idea of pending further.
That's
we continue studying that.
We motion to not be opposed.
Yeah, we move not to be opposed.
A tacit approval.
Who's seconding it?
Motion to not be opposed.
We're telling you not to stop.
Who's going to second the motion?
Okay.
All right. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
While you're pulling that up, you know, you mentioned Parks and Rec. It might be a good option to explore because they have some experience in installing those already.
Luckily, the airport is under the same purview or same. It's one of your departments.
The airport director and the recreation and parks director work for the same.
Is the fire department yours too, or do you have?
No,
there's some collaboration to occur
there.
Yeah.
So they get along well.
All right. Okay. FDOT grant, Alpha 10 Utilities. This is really interesting. We designed it in-house. Our city engineering department designed the utility expansion in-house. Put it out to bid. Low bid came in. Mid 200s. We requested FDOT funding, $186,000. City match is $46,000. Engineering's going to pay for that because they collect the hookup charges. It extends water, sewer, fencing, the gate, and installs a lift station. A sewer lift station, and it supports the future expansion of Alpha 10 development area, which is where Stavola is right now, and possibly another hangar here shortly. This, the grant we get tomorrow, this is also going to City Council in mid-March. I would ask for your support on this as well.
So move.
Second?
Second. How many plots are available for hangars? Let's say that Stavola's building an average-sized hangar. How many more average-sized hangars would that infrastructure support?
Yep, two more. So three total in the same row, including Stavola. We can put three more behind it to the south, and then an infinite number to the north. Huge amount.
Okay.
Yep.
Do we vote?
It's almost 30,000 square feet south of Alpha 10. Another 30,000 square feet south of that, and then kind of the area is completely open for future development north of Alpha 10. Did you vote on that?
I seconded.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent.
Gulfstream meeting.
So this is the Stavola lease parcel right here. Gulfstream Media wants to install a 10,000 square foot hangar here with attached offices on the west part of the existing apron. Leaves just enough room for another 10K in the center. Gulfstream Media is also known as M0A. They're a very interesting company. They're Ocala based, started from scratch essentially. If you're familiar, the best way to describe what they do are if you're familiar with the old King videos, how to fly better, things like that. M0A has basically reinvented the approach and it's been using technology to their advantage and putting out similar type videos, aircraft training, ground school, things like that. They're doing very well. They have a couple T-hanger leases with us in Ocala. They have a couple more in Williston, and they have an off-site studio off-airport where they shoot all their videos. Well, they want to stop paying all that rent. They want to build their own facility, their own studio, and this is what they're looking at doing right here.
They would use that for studio as well as aircraft?
As well as their aircraft.
Yep. Is that permitted?
Absolutely. It's about a one-acre leasehold. They want to encumber the center parcel here. They want a first right of refusal on that. The annual lease is $5,400 a year. It essentially matches the same rate and lease structure as the Stavola. So it's a fair lease. It's a 40-year term. It's interesting that they want to look at having a first right on that parcel there. The language in the lease would mirror the same first right of refusal that we drafted in the Shelter lease agreement on that property.
So you want the board's approval?
I do.
Their motion?
So they're ready to go on this?
They are. They've been interviewing engineers and builders.
I'll move to...
Is there a second?
Gary seconded.
I'll second.
Any more discussion?
Well, that's a good deal for us.
Yeah, it's exciting.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Before you get out of hangar leases and so forth, someone approached me. One of the owners of the Hexaport indicated that the airport had told them or was relating to them that they weren't going to renew the Hexaport.
At the end of the lease term, which occurs in 2028, I think, or maybe it's 2026, it's not in front of me, I can't remember, I would rather negotiate a new lease in a new location that's more conducive for that type of aviation and do that than renew their lease agreement. We've already renewed it once. It's in a bad location. It's surrounded by corporate aircraft. And frankly, half of the units are not being used. There's no airplanes in. So I would rather them build a new facility, reincorporate their Hexaport development at a new location somewhere on the airport, and build a hangar that's more appropriately sized in a more appropriate location for the type of single engine aviation that they operate.
Well, I guess the concern on this individual's part was they bought and paid for those hangars. They're a condominium, so they have a an investment in them, like anybody else would have in a hangar, but they look at it differently than a corporate hangar would, because none of the corporate hangars, even though they all have, the first hangar we ever built would probably be maybe the Clark hangar, which is now Strabolt, I guess, Steinbrenner's.
Which is now R&L.
Fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those hangars would be the first. They all had reverters, but so far none of them have ever reverted to the city, because when we get there, we've had a history of continuing to do that,
absolutely,
which I think is fine.
Absolutely. And we've had a number of hangars actually revert. So R&L, Townley, the Stavola hangar, and the Sheriff helicopter hangar have all expired leases, and we've entered into new lease agreements. But those entities have all reinvested in the airport in capital in some way. The HEC support is a strange bird. In their initial primary development proposal, they were looking at doing two buildings.
Three buildings.
Okay,
there's
that's
three
even
buildings
better.
On
three.
The side.
They never did that. And what happened was you had tiny little lease areas with a relatively high ground rent, and they were paying much more than what our T hangars were going for, and it was not equitable for them. So we worked with them about 6 or 7 years ago, reduced the rent, reduced the scope of their property, but they also had to give something back to us, and so the lease term was shortened. There was no extension on that. Now, nobody from the HEC support has approached us officially. I've just expressed what staff's recommendation would be to City Council. Ultimately, it's going to be City Council's decision. But the type of aviation where it is, I'll go back to what I said before, it's not conducive. If the HEC support people want to pay to relocate their hangar, we would entertain that. But we need to do something.
When does it expire?
It's either 2026 or 2028.
I think with the agenda we have, Terry, that's another day
discussion. Yeah. I just brought it up because it was mentioned to me on the outside. I don't have a position on it, but there is concern, and that will be back.
Oh, I'm sure it will. So let's look at operations. January 2019 was the busiest January we've had since the tower opened. Not only that, but it beat the all-time monthly record since the tower opened. 8,126 operations in January 2019. Huge numbers. So it was the busiest month for total operations since the tower opened. It was the busiest month for local operations since the tower opened. And it was the busiest month for IFR and VFR itinerant operations. Since 2010.
So why do you suppose that was?
The flight school is a big part of that. They're doing really well. But the weather was decent. There might be some truth to people in Williston coming back here. Williston's had a change of management at the Williston Airport. So there might be a little bit of that showing up in there, but all indications are this month will equally surpass, well, maybe not 8,000 because we're short days in February, but we're looking good.
To put things in perspective, to qualify for the tower, we needed around 90,000, which was 8,000. That's what we're supposed to have every month.
That's
so
right.
We're finally getting there.
So let me show you how that stacks up. When you look at previous years, so it's kind of a shark tooth type chart here with ups and downs, but these are historical operations. Here you got all the way back to 2013, so that's January 2019. This is where we think February 2019 is going to end up. Here's 2018, 17. Here's 2013, the blue line. That's the oldest, but you can kind of see, you know, the summer doldrums that drop down, that is just an incredible number right there. Moving on to fuel. As you would expect, fuel sales were incredible. The busiest January of Avgas sales ever. Ever. 18,000 gallons, that was up 82% over January of 2018. Jet fuel was up 15% over January of 2018, for a total monthly increase of almost 25%. It was the busiest January Jet A sale since 08, 07, and 04. This month, I'm speaking with Kyle at Shelterra. They've already eclipsed their goals for February. So actually, they did that three days ago. So we're happy to see that. It had been a while since I had an airport fuel report posted. This is the last sample was February of 17. Here it is, February of 19. Jet A, we're a little higher. I spoke to Kyle about that. I guess the timing was bad. They had about 11 cent increase in their price of jet fuel, and it just jumped up. We expect these other Shelterra locations, when they run through their reserves, they'll probably increase as well too, and things will kind of balance out again. That's what we're looking at. Williston is still the cheapest jet fuel, pretty much anywhere in Florida, at $3.05 a gallon. Moving on, this is Avgas. Shelterra at 514, we're right in the middle. You can see most of the other FBOs that are cheaper are either city-owned, airport authority-owned, or county-owned FBOs. Couple exceptions in there, but Ocala Shelterra has the cheapest advertised Avgas out of all the Shelterras that are listed on here. At full service, which is pretty impressive. And then this is the self-serve Avgas at 414. Any questions on that? Okay. That's the end of my presentation. Kyle's here to address the board.
My name is Kyle. I'm the FBO manager at Shelterra, for those of you who do not know me. There's been a couple of questions that have been drawn to my attention regarding the new T-hanger pullout fees, service fees. Currently, we charge $15 per aircraft movement for aircraft pullouts and pushbacks. We also charge a $5 fee for T-hangers that need to be unlocked. So when a tenant forgets his or her key, we go down, we verify that that's the correct tenant, you know, for that T-hanger. Then we have one master key that's kept up the front counter. It's attached to a big wand. Nobody has, you know, a key around their keychain. It's just one big key. We sign that out, and we head down to the T-hanger, and we unlock it. So that being said, I've had only a few T-hanger customers come to me and ask questions as to where the fee came from. It was implemented on January 1st of this year. So just wanted to go to the airport board and see if anybody had any questions regarding
the T-hanger. There's no waiver of that if they buy fuel from you?
No, sir.
So Jerry Laughlin, in his email, I guess he sent to everybody, you charge $15 to pull it out and $15 to put it back in the fuel?
Correct.
Okay. Seems a little excessive.
Yeah, so the $15 fee came from assessing how much the line guys get paid. So on average, a line service technician, not including the line service supervisors, get paid $15 an hour, and that includes all the fringe, so their insurance, workers' comp, all that stuff. Comes out to about $15 an hour. Typically, aircraft pullout or pushback takes somewhere around 20 minutes. So, $15 divided by 3, you know, equals $5. It takes 3 people to move an aircraft because we have to have one tug operator and then 2 wing walkers. Comes out to $15. So that's where the $15 fee came from. There's no profit that's made off the $15 charge. That's not where the fee came from. It's not to make any money off, but it's simply to cover the labor that goes into moving the aircraft. So that's where that $15 fee comes from.
But you'd be paying them anyway, though. I mean, they'd be working. They'd be working for you getting that money anyway, wouldn't they? I mean, it's not like they're not able to. I know that's taking them off of what they'd be doing, but they're on the payroll. So it's not an extra charge. It's just they can't do something else.
Absolutely. And, I totally agree. But where that lies is that, you know, the argument has been made that we will make the profit up if somebody buys fuel from us over the T-hangers. And that's not necessarily, it's not the case all the time. Occasionally people do not buy fuel from us whenever they ask for pullouts. And sometimes they do. Really what it comes down to is we're providing a service. The T-hanger tenants are not Shelf Air tenants. They pay the city. So we decided that it's necessary for us to charge for a service that we're providing. So that's where that comes
from. Is that consistent? Like with other shelters?
Or with other shelters? Yeah. As far as most shelters don't provide pull-out services to T-hangers. The shelters that do provide pull-out services to T-hangers are shelter managed T-hangers. So as far as I know, those are the only shelters that do pull out T-hanger tenants, or if those T-hangers are shelter tenants. So that would be Pompano. Albert Wooded has an agreement with the city. I believe they split the profits at Albert Wooded, but in Lakeland they don't pull out the T-hanger tenants there. So
I saw the email traffic and I read up on it. One suggestion was the city could pay or give Shelter a percentage of our profit in order to incorporate pull-out services for the T-hangers, but we could do that, but we would raise the rates.
Yeah.
We would raise the rates. And if, when we initially negotiated the lease with Shelter, one of the things that they wanted to look at was managing the T-hangers for the city, but we were getting such great revenue out of it right now. If we were to turn that over to Shelter, they would have to raise the prices enough to cover their expenses in managing.
It's a business decision. I don't think we have any right to substitute our judgment for theirs in this issue. We appreciate your explanation, but
we review the lease and they are within their right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a service. I mean, when I fly 182, there's no way I can single-handedly push that thing back in the hangar. Because it's uphill, man. You try it.
I got a tug.
I mean, that's what you have to do is get a tug. If you don't want to pay it, you get a tug. Okay. You know, but the other, I can ask for fuel and then leave. I don't have to wait. You know, as long as the airplane's not in the way of anybody, so that it would mean you'd have to stick around.
And that was
to avoid the $15.
And that's another thing that we kind of fall into also is. A lot of times we've been caught in the middle, we've gotten complaints from other T-hanger tenants. Airplanes in the way. People will call and say, hey, we're 10 minutes out, we need our airplane pulled out right away. And I'm sure that some of you, have ran into that. We pulled out an airplane, we were told by the tenant that they'd be 10 minutes away. And really, hour and a half later, they show up, and then somebody that's further on down the line is blocked by another aircraft. And not everybody here understands the relationship between Shelter and the T-hangers. They don't understand that we don't, we're not people who oversee the T-hangers, and we'll get a complaint and say, hey, you guys need to push this guy back. They're your responsibility, and we'll get yelled at for blocking the T-hanger lane. So it's constant back and forth with our three guys here on the line, and now this ramp isn't being launched, and it's a lot, so.
Part of running the business.
I think it's.
Get pull-out service, and when I have had people fuel, I usually, if it's just to fuel it and put it back in, roll it far enough out, put fuel in it, and then push it back in. But I do it myself or do it with a tug. So.
Yeah, it's a concierge thing. If you want to pay for it, pay for it.
Fuel trucks, all I need.
Sorry, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I mean, I don't use the pull-out service, but I have numerous customers that have tea hangers, and they call and want me to go down and check out their avionics and their facilities. And I tell them right up front, when the service comes out, saying that they need to have shelter and lock their hangar, I add $5 to the bill to cover what I just charged from the shelter on it, you know, and have them prompt with anybody there, because the fact that, first of all, I'm going down to their hangar to check out their aircraft and stuff like that, and it's just,
Well, you have an airplane you work, if you have an airplane you work on a lot, doesn't the tenant just give you a key?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they come by and they call up and say, you know, well, I was on a plane the other day, my number one comm didn't work, can you go take a look at it? You know, well, you can drop off your keys or you can pay the fee and have a problem.
Is there anybody else that wants to speak before the board?
Move we adjourn.
Are there any comments?
Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
That's my comment.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Very good.
Second.
We didn't get you your plaque for...